There's a dynamic that occurs within the context of a trio that is somehow inexplicable to me, but certainly recognizable, and it's profound. I'm talking about a piano trio in jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that dynamic? What is it about a trio, and why is that so appealing?
I think the simplest answer is that our brain capacity is limited. You know, because, you know, just we're finite, and our brains are finite. We have a finite number of neurons and connections, and there's only so much we can learn and handle, even if we're a savant as human beings. So if you apply this to jazz, it's just easier to juggle the amount of information that's coming from three instruments improvising at the same time than it is to juggle the amount of information that's coming from, let's say, 10 instruments improvising at the same time. And so when you have a big band, you tend to have people playing mostly written out parts and maybe one or two people improvising. When you have a trio, even if one person is soloing, of course, you know, if you know how jazz works, you know that the other guys who are accompanying are also improvising. They're just not improvising a solo. They're improvising their accompaniment, and they're improvising a conversation. And it's just a lot easier to handle a three-way conversation than it is to handle a four, five, six, seven, eight-way conversation. So I think that's part of the reason. It's a very simplistic answer, but it's probably 80% of the reason. It also has something to do with the specific roles of the bass and the drums. Bass being the person who defines the harmony with every note that he plays, and has a secondary job of linking perfectly with the drums to provide a rhythmic foundation. So, and then the drums also are there to kind of like provide flavor and accompaniment, rhythmic accompaniment and excitement and coloration and orchestration. So there's a kind of job that bass and drums do together, which is this foundational job of creating a rhythmic pulse that everybody can lock into, including me, the soloist, the pianist, or the third member of the trio. And then they each have a certain degree of freedom. The bass player has harmonic freedom to choose his notes, and the drummer has rhythmic freedom to create colors and excitement and moods and dynamics. So in a way, there's this kind of hidden fourth element. You know, like they each have a shared role, and they have their individual role. And if they're doing their shared role well, it becomes like this fourth element that's there behind everything else, which is a rhythmic pulse. And then if they're doing their job well, it's easy for me to kind of like lock into that pulse. And if the three of us are locked into that rhythmic pulse together, then the audience also has something to lock into. So the trio is enough. Let's say it's the smallest number of instruments that you can get to that can really lock an audience into a pulse and get everybody dancing and grooving, at least in their seats, you know, tapping their feet and snapping their fingers.
Mm.
They can pay attention to the three different instruments, the three different voices, the three different characters, if you will, on the stage, and they can really distinguish between the job that each one is doing. I mean, drums sound completely different than bass. Bass sounds completely different than piano. And nothing's getting lost. You, the audience member, can distinguish between all the three voices that are playing together, and you can hear exactly how they're interacting, and you can also watch. So you can see the pianist looking at the drummer. You can see everybody smiling on stage together. You can see the climactic moments happen right in front of you. Nobody's hidden. Everybody's right there. And there is this triangle that's made, and you, the audience, are a diamond. You're like the fourth point of the triangle to make a diamond, which invites you in.
Performing at the Walton Arts Center with two stellar musicians who are also part of your tribe, if I may, bassist Matt Penman and drummer Gregory Hutchinson. Tell me more about these guys and what they bring to the bandstand.
Absolutely. So Matt, I've known him since, I think, 1993 when he first came to Boston. And Greg, I think I met in I met him around the same time with Betty Carter around 1993, but we really started playing together with Joshua Redner around 1998. I kind of grew up, in a way, listening to Greg Hutchinson. He's only 5 years older than me, 4 or 5 years older, but he had been working with the Who's Who in the business since he was like 15 years old in New York City. He had already played with Joe Henderson and Ray Brown and Roy Hargrove, a lot of great musicians by the time we met. I have really long friendships and musical relationships and with both of them, and in the case of Greg, and, you know, sort of like a prior musical admiration for him. In a way, he was kind of the voice of that early 90s generation on the drums. From the very beginning, you know, from the age 18 years old, had his own voice. It was instantly recognizable as him. So he's very much, you know, rooted in the jazz tradition, but with a voice that has influenced all of his peers and even some of his elders. He has a particular approach to swing and groove that sounds like nobody but Hutch. So he has a voice, and over many years of playing together, we have a strong musical voice together, and we feel, you know, close to each other as people and musicians after being on the road, traveling the world together for 4 years. That's a foundation to last for life. So in recent years, he's been playing a lot with Matt, with Joshua Redman trio and also quartets and larger ensembles. And I think even before Josh started playing with Matt and Greg together, I had started to work with Matt and Greg together and just found that was a great combination, a combination of, you know, power, swing, groove, and also sort of harmonic subtlety and sophistication that Matt brings that's very beautiful. And a certain degree of sensitivity and huge ears. They work really, really, really well together, and it gives me the balance that I need of all these different elements. And we're all friends, and we're family at this point.
To give this some context for listeners, most recently, I believe Greg Hutchinson was here with Benny Green, and that was a couple years ago. Matt was here just earlier, well, actually in 2011, towards the end of 2011, with the San Francisco Jazz Collective playing bass. So no strangers to Fayetteville, Arkansas. I think I only have one more question. I saved it for last. As a performing artist, I believe you need a certain degree of self-confidence, self-assurance, to presume that what you have to offer is worth hearing. So, given that, and even as a radio disc jockey, you know, it's like, why would anybody want to hear this stuff that I think they should hear? That question arises in my mind occasionally. So how do you avoid the pitfalls of self-indulgence creeping into your art?
Oh, what a good question. Huge, amazing question. If I could go around and spend, you know, maybe 6 months interviewing all my favorite living musicians, I would ask them that exact question. Some masters of this music have famously struggled with just that question publicly, like Sonny Rollins is the most, you know, obvious public example of that. He was very well aware, at least from his perspective, he believed that the number one danger to his craft and his art was ego, and when you have everyone telling you you're the greatest living improviser, at least on your instrument, it becomes tempting to believe it. And I think that was, he realized that at some point, and that he realized that if he believed it, he would stop working and he would start to get worse. For me, it's very easy to stay humble, and the way I stay humble is I just listen to my favorite music. Living in New York, it's a privilege, because I'm surrounded by so many great musicians, both older and younger than me and my peers. So if I want to get inspired and stay humble, I just go out to hear somebody I think is great. So, I mean, you know, the jazz world is full of extremely humbling figures. You know, there's no shortage of people to keep you humble.
Well, Aaron, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to speak with me. I think all of Northwest Arkansas is looking forward to your arrival here. You'll be
thank you so much.
Performing Saturday, June 30th at the Walton Arts Center with your trio, Gregory Hutchinson on drums and Matt Penman on bass. Thanks again.
Well, thank you, Robert. I really appreciate it.